Okay, welcome everyone back to our Daf a Week Shir. We are up to the very top of Chaf Amud Aleph. Well, really, let's just pick up from the second to the last line on Yud Tes Amud Beis. If you remember, we were discussing this topic of what is the status of a chulin, of a regular profane food that I treat on a loftier level. Like, let's say I have the intention that I'm going to handle this chulin food like I was handling a kodesh food. So does the chulin food then have the same level as a kodesh food? So says the Gemara, second to last line in Yud Tes Amud Beis, Amar Rav Mari. Rav Mari says, Shema Mina, learn from our Mishnah that chulin shena asu al taharas hakodesh, that chulin that were prepared according to the holiness, the purity standard of kodesh, ki kodesh Kodesh Jamu is just like Kodesh Mimai, says the Gemara. Where in our Mishnah do you see that? So now we're on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. So says the Gemara, Midelo Katani Behu Ma'ala. Since the Mishnah doesn't teach a separate level regarding a chulin food that was treated like Kodesh, it must be, therefore, that it is actually like Kodesh. And therefore, since the Mishnah taught chulin levels and Kodesh levels, there is no need to teach the special level of a chulin that's treated like a Kodesh, because that's just a Kodesh itself. Right? So in other words, that's a big assumption that the Gemara is making, and the Gemara therefore calls that out. V'dilma hai delo katani behu ma'ala. Maybe the reason that the Mishnah doesn't teach a separate level, right? So in other words, if you remember that the Mishnah said, when we had these different categories of clothing, so depending on who was going to come in touch with this individual's person's clothing, so that could make you tummy for a higher level of sanctity if you know that this person who's wearing that clothing normally only keeps themselves at a purity level that's okay for, truma. So you touch their clothes, then you may and you're usually careful to keep holy, keep pure for kodesh, so that could be an issue. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that when you go back to the Mishnah, we have only four levels. We have the level of chulin, we have the level of truma, we have the level of kodesh, and we have the level of chatas. Mechatas. What the Mishnah does not spell out is what if you have someone who treated their chulin like kodesh. So the implication and the assumption of the Gemara is that there's no way that chulin food that's treated like kodesh, no way that that's just chulin. And if you want to say that it's not kodesh, well, then it should be its own loftier level. It has to be something else. So now says the Gemara, "V'dilma hai delo katani behumala." Maybe the reason why the Mishnah doesn't teach a separate level regarding this chulin food that was treated like kodesh, di damu l'truma, because maybe they are actually similar to the level of truma, right? So in other words, if the chulin food treated like kodesh is on a higher level, maybe it's just like truma. V'i damu l'chulin, and if they're just like chulin, hatani l'chulin, then they're just like, then the Mishnah says, taught the level of chulin. So did not, for we learned in the Mishnah, chulin shenasu al taharas kodesh. We actually have a Mishnah that says this. When you have chulin that was prepared according to the tahara level of kodesh, harehin kechulin, they're like regular chulin. Even though it sounds like you treated it from a fancy perspective, they're still chulin. And then Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok, Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok says, harehin kechuma, no, they're actually like truma. They get what chulin treated like kodesh goes up one level of sanctity. It's treated like one level of sanctity because of the fact that you gave it such a high, a lofty treatment. You can't put it up to kodesh, but you put it up to truma. So therefore, the Gemara it takes a big issue with saying that since the Mishnah didn't give a level of chulin treated like kodesh, it must mean that it's like kodesh itself, because you could just as easily say, no, it's just like chulin, or it's just like truma. Therefore, it says the Gemara, no, we'll bring a proof that chulin that's treated like kodesh is actually like kodesh, that the standard that elami seifa, we learn it from the end of our Mishnah. What does the end of our Mishnah say? Yosi ben Yoezer haya chassid shavakuna. We know Yosi ben Yoezer, he was like the most devout of all of the kohanim. V'haisa mitpachto midras l'kodesh. Nonetheless, his napkin was considered tamei through midras for those who ate kodesh, right? So in other words, he always kept himself seemingly at the level of truma sanctity, and he wasn't necessarily at the level of kodesh sanctity. So if you were at a kodesh level of sanctity and you touched his napkin, then you are now tamei and you are only able to eat truma, but you can't eat kodesh. Yochanan ben Gudgada haya ochel al taharas kodesh koyimav. Yochanan ben Gudgada, he was a very holy Jew, and he ate his chulin according to the tahara standards of kodesh his entire life, and therefore v'haisa mitpachto midras l'chulin. chatas. Nonetheless, his cloth napkin was considered tamei through midrash for those who handled chatas water. So that means, and in other words, so he would always be on the level of kodesh. So since there's one level above that, there's the mechatas level. So someone who's handling mechatas would become tamei, but everyone else, the implication is, would not become tamei. So then says the gemara lechatas ein, meaning the implication is that for someone who handles chatas water, then yes, this napkin is going to consider was considered like a real contaminant that can make me tamei. L'kodesh lo, but for those who ate kodesh, it was not. So therefore, alma kasever, we see from here the Mishnah's implication is chulin shenasu al taharas kodesh ke kodesh tamu, that chulin that were prepared according to the holiness, the purity standards of kodesh, are considered like kodesh, right? Because what the Mishnah is essentially saying over here is that he even ate chulin as a kodesh level, and so therefore, if someone who is eating kodesh, if they interact with him, they are on that same level, even though he was only eating chulin. Since he was eating at the kodesh level, he is treated like all the food essentially was at the kodesh level. So therefore, the Gemara assumes that this is the proof that when you treat chulin food like kodesh, that the chulin is actually sort of transformed into the holiness stature of the kodesh itself. Okay, with that, the Gemara is now going to go on a bit of a tangent that's basically going to take us to the end of the perek. And that is, the Gemara is going to give three basic cases. We're going to see that there's such a concept as, if I am not guarding my item that I was making sure was tahor at a certain level, if I am not guarding it for a second, then immediately it loses its status as being guarded, and therefore it loses its status as being tahor. The question, however, is to what extent will we say this? This principle that we're going to be learning is the same idea that when you make a bracha on something, you shouldn't be speaking between the bracha and eating food. You shouldn't have a hesach hadas, right? So it's not just speaking, it's even signing, right? That's the big joke that we all say, that you can't speak after you wash netilas yadayim, because you're not supposed to make a hefsek, but everyone will sign like there's no tomorrow. So that's also a hefsek. Why? Because it's all under the category of hesach hadas. You're losing your focus as to what you just did, how you purified your hands. So the Gemara is going to deal with cases like this regarding someone guarding a garment. So says the Gemara as follows: Amar Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar. Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar says, "Nafla ma'farto heimenu." Let's say we're going to assume that we're talking about we have this category of individuals called prushim. So we're going to assume that we're talking about a parush. So if someone's, for example, let's say a parish's, like their jacket, their shawl, fell from off of him, Amar Lachabiru, and he says to his friend, Tanali, give it to me. Unisana lo, and he gave it to him, Tamea. The shawl that he was wearing is now considered Tamei. Why? Because he wasn't guarding it for a second. It fell off, the friend gave it to him, so it's Tamei. Amar Rabbi, that's the first rule that we're going to, that's the first case. Amar Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, the second case. Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram said, "Nischalfu lo kelim shel Shabbos b'kelim shel chol ulavashan." Let's say someone mixed up their Shabbos clothes with their weekday clothes, and he put them on. Meaning that it was Tuesday, he wanted to take out his weekday clothes, but instead it was dark, and he took his Shabbos clothes, and the assumption is that you treat your Shabbos clothes maybe with a higher level of sanctity, higher level of purity. And so therefore, since he took it as Shabbos clothes, thinking it was weekday clothes, nitmeu, then these Shabbos clothes have now become tamei. And that was the second case. Third case, Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok says, Masa b'shtei nashim chaveros. So there was a story with two women who, they were chaveros, meaning we know that a chaver in general is someone who we can assume is trustworthy in the laws of Tumah and Tahara. So these were chaveros. They were women who were trustworthy in the laws of Tum and Tahara. So shenes chalfu lahen kleihen beveis hamerchatz. They were in the bathhouse, and their clothing became exchanged with one another, right? I guess they were the same size. So she took her jacket, and the other one took the other one's jacket. And uva masel lefnei Rabbi Akiva. And so then this whole story came before Rabbi Akiva. V'timan. And he says that each of the jackets, the clothing that each of the women were wearing, is now tummy. Since they each stopped guarding their own clothing and is now on the other person, so therefore it's going going to be considered tamei. Now, what the Gemara is going to do is first it's going to ask a question on these last two cases. Then we're going to turn around and actually ask the question on all three of the cases. And then we're going to solve that issue for the last two cases, but then it's going to be a question on the first case. Okay, so let's see what the Gemara has to say. Maskifla, Rabbi Yoshaya. Rabbi Yoshaya says, what are you talking about? Ela me'ata, if this is so, then hoshit yado lasal litol paschitin. He says, let's look at the following scenario. If someone took his hand and put it into a basket, right? Let's say it's dark and you have a basket of bread. So if someone took his hand, put it into a basket, and he wanted to take out a loaf of wheat bread, and instead of taking out a loaf of wheat bread, he took out a loaf of barley bread. Are you going to say over here that the barley bread is going to be considered tamei too? Right. In other words, all the cases that we've been giving is that when the guy took something out, not realizing what it was, he meant to take object A out, but he took object B out. So now, since he took object B out, so now no matter what, object B is going to become tamei. So that means the barley loaf over here should become tamei. Says that's ridiculous. And if you're going to say that this is true, that maybe yeah, that barley loaf should be tamei. Va'atania, we have a brisa. Hameshamer es hechavis becheska shel yayin. Let's say someone is guarding a barrel, and the person is assuming that it's a barrel of wine, but v'nim seis shel shemen, and then he discovers that this is actually not a barrel of wine, but it's actually a barrel of oil. Tahora milatame, it's tahor to the extent that it's not going to make other things, that it can't make something else tame. Right? We said basically that there are two levels of tuma in general, that something can become tame, that itself, we wouldn't call it tame, but rather pusle, that it is invalid, but that it cannot invalidate, it cannot make something else tame. And then there is a higher level of tuma, and that is that the item itself becomes invalid, and it also gives the ability to invalidate, to be batame, something else. So over here, the Mishnah is saying, if I guarded a barrel of oil that I thought was a barrel of wine, then it's going to be tahor from making something else tummy. That's what the Brisa says. And so therefore, the Gemara is taking this into consideration and saying, wait a second, over here, this guy was guarding object A, and he thought that it was really object B. Turns out it was object A. So based on the logic that we had previously, so it should be fully tame also. However, we see that that's not the case. Therefore, the last two cases where we had the individual mix up the Shabbos and the weekday clothes, and we had the individual, these two women mix up their clothes, right? So they didn't know which object they were guarding, but seemingly they were still guarding it. So there we said it's tame. It doesn't make any sense, because here we have a brisa that says even though you were wrong in what the object you were that you were guarding is, nonetheless, it's still going to be tahor. So in our cases too, the items should be tahor. The Shabbos clothes should be tahor, and each of the women's clothing, the other woman's clothing, should be tahor as well. So the Gemara says, let's calm down for a second. According to your reasoning, that when there is any sort of a misconception regarding the reality, the nature of the object that you are guarding, ema seifa. Let's look at the end of the brisa. Vasura mila'echu. The oil is nonetheless forbidden for consumption. Amai, why should this be the case? Right, so in other words, you're now getting on your high horse. You're saying that, oh, this brisa shows that if there's a misconception in terms of the object that you're guarding, that it's not going to become tame at all, and it stays tahor. So therefore, you're trying to disprove those last two cases that we just brought earlier. But the end of the brisa tells us that the object, that the oil in the barrel is puzzle. You can't eat the oil. True, it's going to be considered tummy. True, it can't make something else tummy, but it gains some level of tumma. So get off your high horse. This brisa proves our point. Clearly, if you're wrong in terms of think you're guarding object A, but really it's object B, then object B is going to become tummy. That's how it works. So I'm a Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says no. Really, when it comes down to it, if I am guarding object A and it turns out to be object B is still going to be tahor. We are not going to assume it's tummy. But Omer, where the person says, Shemartiha If the person says, I guarded the contents of this barrel from something that would make it tameh, but I did not guard it from something that would render it pusle. So in other words, let's go back one more time. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, speaking about our case of the Braisa, what was going on in the Braisa? So be'omer, the guy said in the Braisa, shmartiyem edavar ha-mitama, that I guarded whatever was in this barrel. I thought it was wine, but I guarded this oil, evidently. I guarded it from something that would make it, So I guarded it from something that would make it have the ability to make other things tummy. Below me, davar apusla. But I didn't guard it from something that would make it puzzle itself. So in other words, what was going on in the brisa? Right, we still have to deal with a simple fact. Let's just take a step outside and understand slowly what we're saying. So we had these three cases, and we were really dealing with the latter two and three. And in those cases, we made the assumption that if you didn't know what you were guarding, if you had a misperception of what you were guarding, so we assume that those objects are always going to be tummy. And we said, really, is that the case? We have a brice over here where clearly that's not the case, because the oil ends up being not tummy. It's pusle, but it's not tummy. So then the Gemara basically says, no, what are you talking about? At the end of the day, it is tummy, and so, sorry, it is pusle, and so therefore you're proving our point. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah says, no. Actually, what happened in our case in the Braisa over here, the guy specifically said that I guarded it for one reason, for that it shouldn't become tummy, but I didn't guard it that it should become pusle. If he would have guarded it that it should not become pusle, then it would also not have become puzzle. So therefore the question stands. This Brisa is able to disprove our last two cases, and it could be that even though you made a mistake in terms of what you're guarding, that guarding counts as a good guarding. Okay, fine. So the Gemara now says, Umi'ika netirusa lepalga. What you're saying doesn't make any sense. Is there such a thing as having like a partial guarding? I'm going to guard it for A, but I'm not going to guard it for B. Meaning, you're looking at the thing of oil, and you're making sure that no one touches it. So you're going to be careful that this type of person doesn't touch it, but that type, it doesn't make any sense. Either you're guarding it, or you're not guarding it. So A, the Gemara says, yeah, actually there is such a thing. That Tanya, but we have a Braisa, Hoshit Yadov Basal, that if one put his hand into a basket with figs, vasal al kasefo, and the basket was on his shoulder, vehamagrefa besochasal, and there was a shovel inside the basket, so they used to use shovels to break up the figs that were stuck to each other. So there was a shovel in the basket, vahaya belibo al asal, and he had in mind, that his mind was on the basket with the figs, that he was guarding that, vilohaya belibo al hamagrefa, but his mind was not really on the shovel, meaning he was making sure that the basket and the figs were not going to become tummy, guarding that, as it were, but he was not guarding the shovel. They were all in his hand, but he didn't have the intent to be guarding the shovel. So hasal tahor v'hamagrefa tmeya. Unbelievable, says the Braisa. The basket is going to be tahor, and the shovel is going to become tummy. So evidently, we do have partial guarding over here. Says the Gemara, what? Hasal tahor, the basket is tahor, tetame hamagrefa lasal. But shouldn't if the basket is tahor, and the shovel is tummy, so shouldn't the shovel just make the basket tummy at the end of the day? How can you say that one is going to become tahor, while the other one's, or one's going to stay tahor, while the other one will be tummy? Says the Gemara, no, ain kli mitami kli. One kli can't be mitami another kli. So since he was only guarding one of the klis, that kli is going to become going to stay tahor. And since he wasn't guarding the other kli, even though it was within the other one, nonetheless, that's going to become tahor. Says the Gemara, one second, vili tami ma shabasal. Shouldn't the shovel contaminate what's in the basket? Meaning, so the basket won't become tummy maybe because one kli can't be mitami another kli, but still, can't one kli be matami the figs? Shouldn't the shovel be matami the figs in the basket? Ravina says, be'omer. The Bryce is dealing with a case of someone who says, shemartiv mi davar shemetamo, that I was guarding the shovel from something that would make it tame, velomi davar haposlo, but I wasn't guarding it from something that would make it puzzle. Meaning, so the shovel is now puzzle, but it's not tame. It can't be matami something else. So he had like a split kavana. So evidently, this Bryce is a proof that there is such a thing as partial guarding. Okay, fine. Okay, good. So with this, the Gemara is now going to go one step further, and it's going to try to reiterate the point that we sort of left off with, right? This is all a tangent. Mikol makom kasha. Nonetheless, we still have a kasha. How can we say, like we said earlier, that if someone is guarding object A on the and thinking that it's object A, but it turns out to be object B, we said that object B would then become tamei when we have a clear braisa that seems to assume that the object should be totally tohor. The Odin says, the Gemara, I have one more question for you. Mosev Rabba Baravua. The Rabba Baravua says, I have an issue with the following. Maaseh b'isha achas. I have a story with one woman that Shabbas lefnei Rabbi Yishmael, who came before Rabbi Yishmael, the Amra lo, and she says to him, Rabbi, my teacher, beged ze aragtiv b'tahara, that this garment that I wove in total, I was totally tahor, it's totally tahor, this garment, v'lo haya b'libi l'shomro b'tahara, but I didn't have the kavan, I didn't have in mind to guard it in purity. Meaning, essentially what she was saying was as follows, that that from the moment that this garment could have become tamei, she's essentially saying that looking back, I know that nothing came into contact with it to make it tamei. But she said, I never had the kavana. I heard the halacha, so now I'm in trouble, but I really never had the kavana, but I know it's really tahor. So it says, umitoch bedikos shehaya Rabbi Yishmael bodka. So what happens? So Rabbi Yishmael says, I have to look into this. So he started asking her lots of different questions. And within all these questions that Rabbi Yishmael was asking her, Amra lo, she says to him, Rabbi, my teacher, Nida mashcha imi bachevel, that a Nida, there was a woman who was a Nida, she helped me draw together the rope that was attached to the loom. So in other words, basically, this is going to be a tummy because a Nida woman touched part of it. So Amra Rabbi Yishmael says, oh, kame gedolim divrei chachamim, how great are the words of our rabbis, shayu om, because they would say, Bili bo l'shomro tahor, if one had in mind to guard something, it's tahor. Ain b'libo l'shomer tamei, but if he didn't have in mind to guard it, then it's going to be considered tamei. So fine. So that's a new story one. Second new story. Shuv Maaseh b'isha achas shabbas levin Rabbi Yishmael. Another story with a woman who came before Rabbi Yishmael. Amra lo, she says to him, Rabbi, my teacher, mapa zo aragtia b'tahara. This tablecloth, I was totally tahor. Everything was tahor with the tablecloth. V'lo haya b'libi l'shomer, but I didn't have a kavana to guard it to make sure that it stays tahor. Umitoch, and so Rabbi, it's tahor, but I just didn't have that kavana. Umitoch b'dikos shaya Rabbi Yishmael b'otka. So he asked her lots of questions again, and while he was asking all of her these questions, Amra lo, she says to him, Rabbi, my teacher, Nima Nifsuka Li, that there was a thread that I was using, and all of a sudden it broke, it snapped. Ukashartia bapeh, and I tied it by using my mouth. What's the issue with it being from her mouth? Well, there's a concern, because the saliva of a woman who is a Nida can create issues of tum and tahara, and so therefore, essentially, this object is now going to be tummy. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbi Shmuel says, "Kama gedolim derecham, how great are our rabbis? Shayu umrim, because they would say, believe al l'shomer tohar, if one had the mind to guard something that it's tohar, ain believe al l'shomer tummy, but if he didn't have in mind, even if they think it's tohar, it's still not tohar. Why? Because we have two stories over here that prove that she said, I know it's tohar, it has to be okay, I'm sure it is, but then she sat down and talked it out with him a little bit more and found out, oh, actually, it's not really tahor. So fine. So Rabbi Yishmael essentially is bringing these following two cases, that if someone had in mind to guard something, that it's going to be tahor. So therefore, this whole thing is implying that the only time we're going to have a problem when my attention is diverted is that maybe we're going to say that, oh, so if I'm not paying attention, then there's an issue. But if I am paying attention, then it seemingly should be okay. So therefore, when we had these last two cases, right, the thing way back when, to the Shabbos clothes versus the weekday clothes, and the two men in the bathhouse case, so if the object was being guarded the whole time, even though they thought it was a different item, right, I thought it was my weekday clothes, but it turned out to be my Shabbos clothes, and I thought it was my jacket, but it turned out to be her jacket. Nonetheless, all of these objects were being guarded. So if there was a kavana to guard them, who cares if they didn't know which actual item it was? So therefore, that's a question on the cases 2 and 3, and a question on case number 1 as well. Because when the guy's jacket, his shawl, whatever, fell off his shoulders, and his friend picked it up, so I don't understand. I was watching it while it was on my shoulders, then it fell off on my back, and the guy behind me saw it happen, and he picked it up and gave it to me. When was it not being watched? So therefore, these cases of Rabbi Yishmael question all 3 of our cases. Says the Gemara, no. I'll tell you why it's not really a question on our last 2 cases, but actually, it's only a question on our first case. Bishlam of the Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, I understand, regarding the story of Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, when that was the case with the women who switched their clothes in the bathhouse, right? Because we could say that the reason why Rabbi Akiva said that the garments are going to be tummy is kol achas v'achas omeres, because each woman said to herself, chaverti eishes ama'aretz. That's she. Each of the, listen, they were nice ladies. They maybe themselves were careful with the laws of tumah and tahara, but they knew that they said that this woman I'm bathing with in the bathhouse, that she is the wife of an ama'aretz. Umascha daitamina. So the second she realized that this woman was the wife of an ama'aretz, she said it must be that this object is totally it's not worth guarding anymore because it's probably become tummy. So she had hesech hadas in that moment, and then the garment becomes tummy. So not because she stopped guarding it, but rather because not because she had a misperception of which object she was guarding, but it was still being guarded nonetheless, the wrong object. But no, the object that was totally no longer being guarded because of the fact that she now realized that it was in the hands of an ama aretz. Okay, let me be honest. How we understand that case. The Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram Nami, but as far as the case of Rabbi Yonasan ben Amram, right, the person who took their weekday clothes instead of their Shabbos clothes, other way around, took Shabbos clothes instead of the weekday clothes, Kevan de Kalim de Shabbos Avit Lu Shimor Tfei, since one usually his Shabbos clothes he treats a little bit more nicely, a little bit more holy, so Masach Date Minayu. So it's considered as if he had a Hesach Hadas from those garments, meaning he might, let's just bring it back to the terms that we understand. So maybe he treats his weekday clothes like chulin, and he treats his Shabbos clothes like truma, right? Just to get an understanding over here. So when he put on his quote unquote weekday clothes, which turned out to be his Shabbos clothes, he was guarding them at the level of chulin, but really he should have been guarding them at the level of truma. So therefore, that's considered a hesach hadas on the Shabbos clothes. So therefore, that's why they're considered tameh. So basically, we showed now how cases 2 and 3 are not really an issue, are not really a contradiction to these cases of Rabbi Yishmael, because we see that there was a moment where the object was not being guarded. So even therefore, we can say, even according to our cases 2 and 3, that when I am guarding object A and it turns out to be object B, even if there's a misperception, it's considered a true guarding. The only real question now is our first case. What in the world is going on? Says the Gemara, El Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, the case of Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, that I dropped my jacket and the other guy picked it up and gave it to me. Navi lehu shimor bi dechavrei. I was watching it, fell off my back. Why can't I be considered having watched it while my friend was giving it to me? What do you mean? Literally, it was a second. I had it. It fell. I'm still thinking about it. Oh, can you pick it up, Shloimeh? He gives it to me. So why is that not me considered like I have guarded it myself? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says, Chazaka in adam mishamer mashabiyad chaviru. That in general we assume as a chazaka, that a man does not guard something that's in his friend's hands. So that guy picked it up for a second. That's my hesach hadas of my jacket. So then it became tummy. So the Gemara says what? The low. And does someone need to guard something that's in his friend's hands? Meaning, so good. So the guy whose jacket it was stopped guarding it, but the friend was now guarding it. So says the Gemara, Vatani, it was Torah Nebraisa, Hareshayu chamarav ufo alav tuunin taharos. That if someone had hired a couple of donkey drivers or a couple of workers, and they were carrying his tahor items, right? So let's say they were carrying like barrels of wine
that belonged to him, and they were tahor. Afa pisha hiflig mehen yoter mimil. Even if he goes, distanced himself from them more than a mil, taro sav tahoros. Then his items that were tahor, they remain tahor. So even though he wasn't watching them and guarding them the whole time, they're going to continue to be tahor. Vim amar lem. But if he said to them, lechu, go ahead, v'ani avo achrichem, and I'm going to follow you a little bit later. I'll see you in a few hours. Kevan shenis am alnu inav mehen. Then as soon as they disappear from his view, taro sav tameos. Then his tahor items are going to be considered tame, right? So therefore, says the Gemara, if you're gonna think that when a man is not guarding that which his friend, if you're going to think that a person does not guard that which his friend holds, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. Why in the first case of the Braisa is it different than the second case of the Braisa? Right? Even in the first case, the wine should be considered unguarded because my friend is holding it. So if men don't guard the wine of another that's being held by another man, then why are these donkey drivers, even though I'm watching them, if it's in their hands, I'm not guarding it anymore. So why is it considered guarded? Oh, you see from here that it must be that I do guard things even in when my friend is holding them. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha said, really, a person does not guard that which my friend is holding. Right? And the first case is just really a case where the person who hired these donkey drivers or these workers, he specifically went out and was metahir them. He made them go in a mikvah to make sure that they're going to be tahor. So I was guarding the barrels. I gave them over to my drivers who I told them to be metahir themselves. So everyone's tahor and I'm watching them the whole time. So therefore I know that they're going to become tahor. But I am not guarding it while it's in their hands. They're guarding it. I just happen to know that they are also tahor. The Gemara says, "Ihachiyev." So this is so seifanami. In the Braisa's last case, as well, then the wine should be tahor. Meaning, if they went to the mikvah, so how come the barrels aren't tahor anymore? Ain. So says the Gemara, "Ain amaretz makbid al maga chaviru." Because we assume that these donkey drivers or these workers that they're amaratzim, and we say that an amaretz is not going to be so careful about if his friend came into contact. Meaning that in the second case, they go out of his vantage point for a second. Who knows who's hiding in the woods there? And these Amaratzim, true, they went to the mikvah, but their friend didn't go to the mikvah, and they see Yankel in the forest, and they say, hey, Yankel, come and take a look at this wine. He's going to touch the wine. This could happen. Therefore, we say that it's going to be considered tameh, whereas the first case is not going to be considered tameh. Says the Gemara, what? If we're concerned that an Amma Aretz is not going to be so careful, then let's look at both the cases. Both of the cases, the guys go out of the owner's vantage point. Ihachi, Reisha Nami. If this is so, then the first case as well, the barrel should become Tame, because they went out of the guy's vantage point. True, So they went out of his vantage point. So therefore, they should become tame as well. I should be concerned that maybe they met their Amma Aretz friend and he was metame them. Says the Gemara, no. Bivalehem derech akalasim. No, akalasim. There's a concern that in the first case, that the boss could always come up and sneak up on them. You know, he knows a shortcut on the way to his palace or whatever, so he could easily find them through like a circuitous route. So they're going to be concerned, so they won't, they'll make sure that everything is going to be on the up and up the entire time. Says the Gemara, Yachi Seifanami. So maybe the Bryce's last case as well, the wine should become tower because he'll sneak up on them again as well. So this is the Gemara, no. Came into Amar Lu, since he told them, Lichu Va'ani Avo Acharechem. He says, go ahead and I'm going to follow you later. Mismach Samcha Dateyu. They're confident that he's not going to arrive for some time. So in that time, they'll have Yankel, who's an Amar Aretz, who's Tamei still. He'll touch the wine and he'll be matameit. So therefore, ultimately, we see that in general, right. So we see in general that the individual is not going to generally be seen as guarding something in his friend's hands, but that there were special circumstances in each of these cases. The first case, the guys were tahor, he put them in the mikveh, and they had to be afraid that he'd come, so even though he didn't see them for a period of time, there was a chance that they could run into him, so therefore the stuff remained tahor, even though he wasn't guarding them, because it was as if the people, the one themselves, were guarding them. And in the second case, since he told them to go ahead, even though they were tahor, who knows if they were going to run into a Joe Schmo in the forest and make the wine tahor.
tamei himself, so therefore we have to be concerned about that. So that's why those barrels are going to be considered tamei. Whatever it is, that brings us to the end of the second perek. We'll say hadron alach ein dorshin. We shall return to you the perek of ein dorshin, and God willing, next week we'll pick up with the third perek. It doesn't get too much easier in terms of the tum and tahara over here, but God willing, we will get there, and not too many more weeks. So we'll be finished with the Masechta and on to the next one, God willing. We nether. So I wish everyone a beautiful night, and see everyone next week.